Can we turn, please, to the book of Ruth, the Old Testament, the book of Ruth, and chapter 1. Book of Ruth and the chapter 1, and we'll start to read at verse 1. Ruth chapter 1 and verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return unto the land of Judah. In the verses that follow down to verse 19, we have Naomi's conversation with her two daughters-in-law. One of them, Orpah, returns to her own people, and Ruth continues to travel to Bethlehem with her mother-in-law, Naomi. We pick up the reading then in verse 19, describes Naomi traveling with Ruth. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Amen. We'll end our reading at the end of verse 22. The idea of a wanderer returning home is something that fascinates our minds. Each year, as we wait for the winter to end and for summer to begin, we look out for the return of the swallows and the return of those little birds at the beginning of summer. It marks to them the end of an immense journey and their arrival at a place of rest and provision. Our own experiences of returning home to places that are familiar to us, perhaps childhood homes. They cause us to remember times that are past, people that are gone, changes that have taken place. Returning home is a joyful thought for the traveller. And yet at the same time, certain events can tinge that anticipation with sadness. Think of Judah in Genesis chapter 44. He had travelled to the land of Egypt with his brothers to get food in a time of famine. And Judah had promised his father Jacob that he would definitely bring his youngest brother Benjamin home again. But when Benjamin is refused permission to leave Egypt, the thought of returning home without him fills Judah with fear. And he says, For how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me. Yet whatever the reasons that cause us to leave home, and no matter what sadness may accompany our return home, there's always that unavoidable desire that brings us home again. Home is where we belong. Home is where we'll be safe. Home is the place where our needs will be met. Here in Ruth chapter 1, we read of a family leaving their home. This family, a man called Elimelech, his wife Naomi, their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, left their home in Bethlehem in the land of Israel. Times were hard. There was a famine in the land, and thinking they could survive better elsewhere, they went to the neighboring country of Moab. In leaving Bethlehem in the land of Israel, they were leaving the home that God had given to them. They were leaving the promised land. They were leaving the land that God had given to his people, the land in which they were to dwell. And their departure from home was a departure from the will of God. Their departure from home was a departure from what they knew to be right. Their departure from home indicated that they were leaving off living a life by faith. And they were going out to depend upon their own wisdom and their own resources. But the story does not end there. For we read in verse 6 of chapter 1 of the return of one member of that family, Naomi. It says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Naomi reached a point in her life when she realized that she had to go home. And that is what I would like to consider with you this evening. Naomi's return to Bethlehem. Naomi's return to Bethlehem. Firstly, note the place from which she returned. The place from which she returned. Verse 6 tells us that she might return from the country of Moab. It was from this country of Moab that neighbored Israel that Naomi made her return home. And we can say of this place, Moab, that it was a place of wickedness. A place of wickedness. The Moabites were descended from Abraham's nephew Lot. They did not worship the true and living God. They worshipped idols, and in particular they engaged in the heathen practices of a false god called Chemosh. Their false worship even involved human sacrifices at times. In the book of Numbers chapter 25, we read of how the children of Israel, when they were coming out of Egypt, they were lured into sin by the Moabites. And the Moabites encouraged them to sin in the most vile manner possible. Naomi and her family, they were living among such people. Even though as Israelites they would have known the kind of people that the Moabites were. And Naomi's return to Bethlehem from such a place indicates to us how far she had strayed from home. She had left the company of God's people to go and live among the ungodly. And does this not show to us how far the people of God can go from him? Perhaps this describes you tonight. You have experienced the grace of God. You've known the blessing of being brought into the family of God. You've received all the precious promises of God to his people. And yet perhaps today you are living in a place of wickedness, spiritually speaking. Difficult times may have come into your life. Perhaps you were influenced by the bad example of others and you left off God's will, left off fellowshipping with God's people, and your life has become tied up with those who live in utter wickedness. This is what happened to Naomi. But remember, from such a place of wickedness, she returned home. And you can do the same. This place from which she returned home was a place of wickedness. It was also a place of malice. Malice. The Moabites opposed the Israelites, and in essence, they were their enemies. Moab refused to help Israel when she came out of Egypt. She tried to get a false prophet to curse the nation of Israel. In the book of Judges, chapter 3, we read of how for a period of time, Eglon, king of Moab, oppressed Israel, and they served the king of Moab for 18 years until God delivered them. Naomi and her family had not gone to live among friends. They had gone to live among enemies. They had left off their own people and gone to make a life among those who were completely opposed to the truth of God. And how sad it is when God's people find themselves among the enemy. How tragic when God's people find the company of the enemy more agreeable than the company of God's people. It can happen. But from such a place, living among the enemy, Naomi returned home. And you must do the same if you find yourself in her position. She returned home from this place of wickedness and malice, but it was also a place of grief. We read in this chapter of how she lost her husband and her two sons in the land of Moab. Naomi's husband, as the head of the home, he bore the primary blame for the family moving to Moab, and he died first, as we read in verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And following his death, the family slipped into further trouble and difficulty as the two sons married wives from among the women of Moab, an alliance that brought the family closer to these idol worshippers. Then we read in verse 5 that the sons also died, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. They'd gone to Moab to seek a better life. They'd gone to Moab to avoid the famine in Israel, and yet they had found death there. And this reminds us of how there is nothing but grief outside of the will of God. God's people are loved by him, and in his love he chastens them for their sin, and so they cannot live happily in disobedience to him. Naomi, she acknowledges in verse 13, "The hand of the Lord is gone out against me." His chastening hand had brought her grief, but it was all with the purpose of bringing her home again. Your life may be full of grief tonight. Only you can know whether or not it is the result of God's chastening hand. Not every grief in our lives is caused by sin. Many who walk well with God suffer much in his cause. But we are speaking here about that special, unique type of grief that is caused in the life by sin and by disobedience. And if your sin has brought you down into grief tonight, then allow it to do for you what it did for Naomi, and that is to point you toward home. For from this place of grief, Naomi made her way back home to Bethlehem again. And so this is the place from which she made her return. But we can notice, secondly, the news that prompted her return. The news that prompted her return. The second part of verse 6, it says, "For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread." She heard in Moab news of how God had visited his people, how he had brought an end to the famine. And this news that she heard was news about the nature of God's provision. She heard that God had given his people bread. This famine that had occurred in Israel had been the result of the sin of the people. But now God had graciously restored the people to his favor, and he had brought an end to the famine by providing bread. This was the means that God used to provide for the needs of his people. He gave them bread. Bread would support life. Bread would meet their need. And how challenging this must have been for Naomi. There she was, living among idol worshippers, while God was moving in mercy, blessing his people, giving them bread. How this must have made her realize all the more that she was outside of God's favor and blessing. How she must have realized that she had lost out in her relationship with him. And you may have done the same. You may have wandered from God's will. You may have left off fellowshipping with God's people. You may have given up on prayer. You may have wandered with companions in the world. Spiritually speaking, you are in Moab. But tonight there is news for you. God has visited his people in giving them bread. He has given us the bread of life, which is Jesus Christ himself. The Savior said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. And in him alone, all of your needs can be met. If you're broken in heart over your sin and failure, he is the one who heals the broken in heart. If your sins are great, he's the one whose blood cleanses from all sin. If you feel that your betrayal of him is too much to be forgiven, he's the one who pardoned Peter, the one who denied him with oaths and curses. If you need guidance and wisdom to put your life back on track, he's the one who's called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You have no need that he cannot fully supply. When he died on the cross, when he shed his blood, he purchased for his people all that we need. And our sins may cause us to lose our enjoyment of God's fellowship and God's blessing, but God's provision is always there for his people. We have only to go to the bread of life, go to the Savior himself, and find in him all that we need. She heard news that God had provided bread. And oh, that is the news that men and women need to hear tonight. That Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And he can meet every need. She heard news of the nature of God's provision. But this news would also have reminded her of the faithfulness of God's provision. And learning that God had sent bread to his people in Israel and in Bethlehem, she was hearing of something that she knew already, or something that she ought to have known already. She came from Bethlehem, and that name, Bethlehem, means house of bread. The very name of the place that she had left behind indicated the faithfulness of God in giving a supply of bread to his people. God had given this promise to Israel when he brought them out of Egypt, that in the land of Canaan, in the land of promise, he would meet their needs and they would have bread. If you turn to the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we'll read verses 7 to 9, for this is the promise of God regarding the provision he would make in the land of Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 7. And it says, For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of oil, olive and honey, a land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. God had given a promise of bread in the land of Canaan. And God is faithful to his word. In spite of the faithlessness of his people, in spite of the many failures of his people, God is always true to his promises. And Naomi was reminded that there was never any cause to doubt God. There was never any cause to think that he would not keep his promises. However, God had also promised something else. He had promised that if his people disobeyed him in the land of Canaan, that they would experience famine. If you turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, Leviticus chapter 26, verses 19 and 20. This chapter is dealing with the chastening that God would bring upon his people if they sinned against him in the land of Canaan. Leviticus 26 and verse 19. And he says, "And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron, and your earth as brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain, for your land shall not yield her increase, neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruit." The famine that had caused Naomi's family to leave Bethlehem was itself a token of God's faithfulness to his word. He had promised famine if they disobeyed. And yet God is not only faithful in chastening his people, he is faithful in restoring them again. And even as we read in this chapter 26 of Leviticus of the most severe chastenings that God would bring upon his disobedient people, yet he promises never to utterly forsake them. Verse 44, he says, "And yet for all that, when they be in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, neither will I abhor them to destroy them utterly, to break my covenant with them, for I am the Lord their God." God is merciful to his disobedient people. In his love, he chastens them. In his faithfulness, he restores his people again. And it is possible for God's people to lose out in their relationship with him, to leave the place of blessing, to depart from the joy and the fellowship with God, and yet he remains faithful. He says, "I am their God. I will not let them go." And Naomi, she heard in the land of Moab of her God again, how he is faithful and how he provides for the needs of his people. And when she heard of her God again, it prompted her to return home. And oh, that we would hear of our God again, that we would know that his promises are true, that we would know that his faithfulness is great, that he meets all of our needs. And if we have wandered from him, that we would return home again. The news that prompted her return and the place from which she returned. But we can also notice, thirdly, the resolve evident in her return. The resolve evident in her return. Verse 6 of Ruth chapter 1 says, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab." This verse and the rest of the passage, it indicates to us that Naomi was resolved to return home. She was determined that she was going back to Bethlehem. And this determination, this resolve that she had, it was in obedience to God. It was in obedience to God. She knew that God was calling her to return home again. And she resolved to do what God required of her. Verse 6 indicates that it was hearing of God moving among his people that stirred her to return. In verse 13, as we've already noted, she acknowledges that the Lord has been chastening her for her sin. In verse 21, she says, "The Lord hath brought me home again." God called her to return from the paths of sin, and she obeyed his call. God does not give up on his wandering sheep. He calls them to return. And the call comes to you if you have wandered from him. His voice perhaps has been calling you. You have felt his hand in your life so often, indicating that you must return. And until now you may have refused. It is his mercy that calls you to return. And so, like Naomi, be resolved that I am going home to my God. Naomi knew that she had sinned. She knew that the things that had happened to her had been God's just chastening of her for her sin. And her obedient return is itself a picture of repentance. She turned around. She went back to where she had lost out with God. And oh, that you would not just mourn over your condition, but that you would leave your sin. Leave the past with all of its failure behind. Separate from it, coming home in obedience to your Lord. He calls his wandering sheep home again. Naomi's return was in obedience to God, but this resolve, this determination she had to return, it was also in spite of the difficulties. In spite of the difficulties, as she resolved in verse 6 to return to Bethlehem, she faced awkward circumstances. She had two daughters-in-law that she felt some measure of responsibility toward. She challenged them, it would seem, to test how resolved they were to come with her. And Orpah goes back to her own people, and Ruth decides to go on with Naomi. But these were not easy circumstances to deal with. Naomi knew, and indeed she had told her daughters-in-law, that she had no means of supporting them in Bethlehem. Naomi was returning to Bethlehem without a husband, without sons, and so she was destitute, without any family wealth. And yet she was resolved to go home. She was resolved to go home. In spite of the emotional ties in Moab, her husband, her sons were buried in Moab. Yet she did not let that hold her back from going to Bethlehem. Before her lay a long and difficult journey, full of many uncertainties. How would she be received in Bethlehem? What life would there be for her there now? The difficulties were very real, but her resolve was absolute. She was determined. She was going to go home. And I do not know what difficulties may stand between you and returning to your Lord. But be resolved, like Naomi, that no matter what the obstacles or difficulties may be, I'm going home. We can note Naomi's resolve in verse 6. Then we can see how it was lived out in verse 19. As she went with Ruth, it says, "So they too went until they came to Bethlehem." She kept going all of that long journey until she got home. She had to travel out of Moab. She had to cross the River Jordan into the land of Israel. And once into Israel, she had to keep going, heading upward into the hills some 2,000 feet before she reached Bethlehem. But she was resolved she was going home. She kept going till she got home. And oh, that you would have determination to leave whatever it is that's holding you back, to leave it behind and say, after wasted years, I'm going home. This resolve that she had, it was in obedience to God. It was in spite of the difficulties. But her resolve was rewarded by God. It was rewarded by God. In verse 21, she says, "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty." She acknowledges that when she went out, she was full. When she had left God's will, he had been good to her. She had all that she needed. And now when she returns after wandering from the will of God, she returns home empty. And how sin empties a life of joy and peace and contentment. The way of transgressors is hard. But what grace and mercy there is in those words, "The Lord hath brought me home again." Sin took her away, but grace brought her home again. The Lord had to remove many things from her so that she was empty. But it was all to bring her home again. And God, in mercy, brings his people home. And now, at home, Naomi would not remain empty. She could not have imagined what God would do for her now that she had returned home. A mighty man of wealth would marry her daughter-in-law, Ruth. He would restore the family's inheritance. And from Naomi's daughter-in-law would come within just a couple of generations, King David himself, and in the fullness of time, from the same family, in the same place, Bethlehem, would be born the Savior himself. She came home empty. But oh, the fullness of God's restoration. You cannot imagine the welcome that the Lord has for you if you would but resolve to return. Think of the prodigal son in the far country when he was sick of his sin. He says, I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And yet when he returned, the father saw him when he was yet a great way off, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And was there any thought of him being a hired servant in his father's house? He said, this my son was dead and is alive again, was lost and is found. God brings his children home. And oh, if you have wandered from him, then return to him this very day, for his compassion is great. And such a welcome is not only afforded to the child of God who has wandered, but it's also afforded to the sinner who comes for the first time. For as Naomi was making her return to Bethlehem, Ruth, the idol worshipper, was coming for the first time. And she received the same welcome. She was gathered into the family and fold of God, there forever to abide. And such a welcome is extended before the sinner tonight. If you've never met the Savior, if he's not your Lord, your sin is that awful burden of guilt that will drag you down to hell. And yet there is a welcome with the Savior for you if you'll but leave your sin and come home to the Savior who is patiently waiting, the one who today extends you mercy, and yet the one who one day will be the judge of all the earth. Is it not then time to come home? Could be that it has been a long time. Naomi was in Moab about 10 years. Now it's time for you to come home. There's a welcome there. The Lord, who died for your sins, shed his blood to cover all your sins. The Bible tells us if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Because he died for you, because he shed his blood for you, then he's able to say, come home. May it be said of all of us this night that we are safely gathered into the home of God, that home which once we enter it, never be expelled. May it be so for his name's sake. Amen.